Okay? Now, don't get too happy. It's only about a page and a half shorter than a normal sermon, okay? But let's get moving so we can get there. If you're one of our regulars, you know that we've been going through this series. You probably see it on the screen about taking a very long look at salvation. And we've had to take a little bit of a break for that, although the Easter sermon kind of fit in with the theme. Last week we took a little break because we did our community Sunday and helped out some of the folks in the neighborhood and really worked on some of their homes and so on and so forth. This week we're taking a break from the sermon series so that we can focus on the youth or the kids of our church, okay? Now, if you know anything about Awana, you know that Awana's motto is approved workmen are not ashamed. Okay, you're looking at an Awana graduate. Okay, I got an education from there. All right, their theme verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, and it's going to be on the screen. You don't even need your Bibles for this one. It's going to stay on the screen while I'm talking. Okay, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. Okay, so we're going to dig into this verse and see what it really is talking about here. It starts out with the phrase, do your best. And the idea is put there because of the whole context of the verse, okay, what it's really talking about. In the original Greek, the words do your best literally mean be eager or be zealous, be passionate about this, okay? So be passionate to present yourself to God. And sadly today, in a lot of churches in America, that passion seems to be lacking a little bit. Going, man, I want to present myself before God. And I think part of the reason that the passion gets lacking is because maybe we don't know about the grace of God. Okay? We haven't really heard or understood what the grace and the love of God really is all about. Or we've heard all about the grace and love of God, but we just have a really hard time believing it. You don't know what I'm like. You don't know what I've done, and that just can't possibly apply to me. Or sometimes it can be we lack that passion because we realize that we are more in love with God's stuff than we are with God. Or we realize maybe sometimes we're even more in love with sinful practices and we go, I don't want to approach God if that's the case, because we know what our own heart is like. Okay? So that's one of those areas that we need to work on to build that passion and fall deeply in love with God because of His grace and His mercy towards us. But that next phrase is very important. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And the Greek word means tested, that you've been tested. Okay? The idea is that you've worked hard, you've gotten through the battle, and you were tested and you came through with flying colors. So, for example, if you were trying out for a play, you went in, you tried out for a singing part, they said, this person can sing, we're going to take them and stick them in the lead role because they're such a good singer. You were tried, tested, and approved to be able to be a singer in that play. Okay? And we need more people that are tested and approved in the church today. Now, there's two ways of looking at this tested and approved. There are a bunch of people who have been tested and approved being accepted into God's family. Okay, and here's what I mean. God says, yes, this person has put their faith and their trust in me, and they are my child. Okay, He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee for that. And in that way, they've been tested and approved. But what I'm talking about are people who have been tested and approved because they've stood their ground in their faith. Against some of the ideas that are out there in society, they've faced the ridicule and the name-calling sometimes of what people think Christians are all about. They've even sacrificed parts of their lives, their money, their relationships, their status, job promotions, dreams, all these different things. They may have said, you know what, I'm going to have to just sacrifice this for God, for His glory, because I want Him. Okay? And sadly, there's too many Christians nowadays that kind of fold under the pressure. When all of that starts coming and hitting them, they fold, they give in, they conform their ideas around the current trend, or they give in rather than facing maybe the pain of sacrifice and giving up something that they really want, rather than really facing and following after God. So we need people that are willing to stand, okay? And one of the things that that requires, it requires wisdom. You got to know which battles to fight and which ones to just leave alone. And that requires wisdom. And it requires a commitment to Christ that says, I want Christ's approval above the world's approval. I care more about what Jesus thinks than what everybody else thinks. Okay? Now, the rest of the verse is letting us know what we have been tested in. It says that you are a worker. Okay, we're going to stop right there. You're a worker. This is one of those things that us older generation people, and yes, I just included myself in the older generation, okay? Yes, us older generation people need to pass that on to the younger generation folk. You are always active, always involved in life. Whatever you work at, you work hard at. But more than that, when you are working, we need to understand that we are working for the Lord. Whether we're doing it in our job, whether we're doing it at school, whether we're doing just life with our friends and enjoying our friends, we're doing it for the Lord. All of that comes for the Lord. If you accept a role in the church and you're working in VBS or you're working in the nursery or you take on something to prepare a meal for the church or whatever, you do it not for the church, not for Pastor Keith because he looks so good in his blue shirt, okay? You do it for the Lord, okay? It's through the church that you're doing that, but you do it, you are working for the Lord, okay? The other part about being a worker, and this is going to come as a big shock to you all, you're a worker, okay? That means you keep going with it. If you are a Christian, that means you are an active participant in God's work. Now, let's read that one backwards for just a second here. If you're a Christian, you're an active participant in God's work. If you are not an active participant in God's work, then that means you may not be a Christian. When you say that you are a Christian, there are certain responsibilities that you accept on, okay? And not working for the Lord is not an option. That's not what the Bible gives us. He doesn't give us that option. We are working for the Lord. There is no plan B. It's us, folks, and we have to do that work for the Lord. Okay? God chose you. He chose to conform you to the image of His Son. And the Bible even says that He prepared good works in advance for you to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you don't believe me. Okay? He's prepared that stuff in advance for us to do. Does that sound like we're passive? No. Here's one. And for older generations, put on your steel-toed shoes, because here it comes. Does it sound like you get to retire from Christian ministry? No. Now, you might change Christian ministries. You may go, all right, swinging around up on the steeple up there? Yeah, that's the job for the young folk, okay? I'm getting a little too old for that. Okay, I understand you may not take that ministry. But do you retire from ministry altogether? No. When it comes time for us to seek new board members, do you go run and hide and go, let the younger generation do it, I've served my time? No, because we don't retire from ministry or serving the Lord. Okay? Final part of the verse is that you are correctly able to handle the word of truth. And there's a word picture here. It says that we make straight lines. Okay? So, I already talked to her before, so she's going to come up here for me. Ellie. You're going to come up here for me. Come on. Just stand right there, okay? Now what you're going to do, when I tell you, you're going to walk a straight line from here to the back of the church, okay? So you can actually get down off the stage. You ready? Don't look at me. Look at that way. Now, We need to make this a little more difficult for her. So, come here, Ellie. You got this ponytail thing in the way. Oh, my goodness. Let's flip that out of the hair. Flip that hair out of the way. My goodness. I'm going to like pull her little hairs out. Can you see anything? Okay. Now, is this going to make it a little more difficult?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready? Get set. Let's make this a little more difficult. Come here. Keep going, keep going. Okay, you ready? Go. Okay, now let me ask you something, Ellie. If I gave you a friend to stand down at the back of the church and they were yelling directions to you, would that make it easier?
Yeah.
Would it be, what would happen if your friend, you couldn't trust your friend, and they were giving you bad directions? What do you think would happen to you? You'd crash into the wall, right? You'd crash into a pew or something like that. Okay, you can take that off and go sit down. Thank you very much. Back to the verse. We're able to correctly handle the Word of God, okay? Or make straight paths with the Word of God. So we're not winding all over the place. You are capable of doing that because you understand what God's Word is. And this is a great lesson for all of us. Okay? The Word of God is going to give us solid, straight lines. It's going to give us solid advice. Too many people want to rely on their own brains. They want to rely on their own minds for things and think that they can do that. But when they want to take their own paths, they are as blind and as dizzy as Ellie. Okay? When we try and take our own paths, that's what we wind up being. Blind and dizzy, we don't have a clue where we're going. And yet God's Word tells us He's going to make our path straight. Anybody ever memorize Psalm 119:105? It's up on the screen. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay? Is that the wrong verse? There we go. Okay. It's supposed to be on the screen. Technology's great when it works, right? Bible's telling us that it's the Word of God is that lamp that turns on so we can see where we're headed. That takes care of the blindness issue. That takes care of the dizziness issue that we're going to go, oh, I don't know which direction to go. Now we've got to see the path. Now we get to see where we're going. But further than that, anybody ever memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will make your path, what's that last word?
Straight.
When we trust not in our own brains, when we trust in God, He's going to make those paths straight for us so we know where we're headed, where we know where we need to be going. Okay? And that's the great thing about God's Word. It is going to shoot straight with us. And here's what I mean. There's two things to this. God's Word tells us the great and the awesome things that we love to hear. Things like, God is love. We love to hear that, right? And that God loves us. God forgives us, right? God is going to give us strength for the task. God is with us. I will never leave you or forsake you. Those are promises that we love, right? Okay? The Bible also comes over here and it tells you the stuff that you don't want to hear. It says you're a sinner. It says that there are specific things that you do that displease God. It says that you are in desperate need of a Savior. It tells us both the things we love to hear, and it tells us the things that we don't like to hear so much. And it holds that mirror up to us and says, this is what you really look like. And it's unfortunate that too many people want to jump up and walk away from the mirror rather than readjust their life to make sure that it's in line with what God wants it to be. Okay? Now, go back to that 1 Corinthians 9 passage that I told you about before. I'll read it one more time real quick. Don't you know that all that run, or that, excuse me, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And we'll actually stop there. Okay? These verses tell us some very interesting things about our other verse that we were talking about how to read God's Word and how to become workmen that are not ashamed. It says that we are running for a prize, okay? So today, for the kids, you guys, you didn't get your awards today because we had another technological glitch, but you're going to get your awards, right? Now, back in these days, anybody know what the award was that they got for running? Do you know, Ellie? No. John knows. Yep. Called a laurel wreath. And just a little crown that you put on their heads. It was made out of evergreen branches. Not our kind of evergreen branches with the little pointy things. They were actually leafy evergreen branches. But they put that on their heads, and that's what they would win if they won the race. Now, somebody tell me, how long do you think that that thing is going to last after it's cut off the tree? Week to 10 days. Then it's going to be brown, ugly, and nasty, right? Okay? It doesn't last. Paul says that. They run to get this crown that does not last. We do it to get a crown that does last. Okay? Our awards that you would have gotten today had technology not failed us, are they better than a laurel wreath that's going to go fade away in 7 to 10 days?
Yeah,
they're better than that. Are they going to last forever?
No.
No, of course they're not. Okay? I still got my awards from Awana when I was little munchkin. Okay? But they're not going to last forever. They will fall apart eventually. We're doing it for something that lasts forever. So let me give you 4 prizes that last forever that we get by becoming a good student of God's Word, just like it says, an approved workman. The first one is, and by the way, these are in order of importance from least to greatest, or as close to that as I could possibly get. First one, we get a deeper knowledge of the Bible. When we read the Bible, we begin to understand it a whole lot better. Okay? And that's a great thing most of the time. There is a story about a prince who got thrown into prison. And when he was thrown into prison, the only thing he was given in prison was a Bible to read. And that's it. So he read that thing cover to cover over and over and over again. The prince eventually died in prison. And when they came to remove him, to get him his funeral and everything, and they went into the cell, what they found scratched into the walls and different notes that he would make were all the things that he understood about the Bible. And he wrote down what word was the middle word of the entire Bible. He wrote down how many words were in each book of the Bible. He wrote down what was the longest word in the Bible and what was the shortest word in the Bible. But he completely missed the message of what God's Word was really trying to tell him. So while we can study God's Word, and that can be a great thing, it can also be a negative thing too if we do not allow it to penetrate our hearts, which leads us to the second thing that lasts forever, the second prize that lasts forever, is a good character that comes from the Word of God. Okay, I doubt that there is anyone in history that is going to say that a genuine Christian is not a person of character. Genuine Christians are people of character. Now, there are people who claim to be Christians that aren't really following Christ, and those folks, no, they're not. They generally don't have the same kind of character. Okay, anyone that has the message of God that penetrates their hearts, they come to understand and love the same things that God loves. They understand what love looks like. They understand things about how to live life, how to love their husband or their wife. They understand how to raise their children in a godly, disciplined way. They understand these things because they watch Christ and they learn from Him, and that becomes a part of who they are. Which leads me to the third thing. Third prize that we gain that lasts forever is knowing and accepting salvation. Okay? It's not enough just to become a person of character out of the Bible, because I can point to several people who are people of character because of the Bible, but they don't know Christ. If that's all the further the Bible leads you is just to be a person of character, you've stopped short. You need to commit to Christ. Because the Bible talks about all those things, that we are a slave to sin. We are ruined by it, and it will continue to drive us down wrong paths if we let it. Then we also understand, when we understand that sin problem, we understand and begin to see God's solution, which is Jesus Christ. We read not just about his life and teachings, even though those are awesome, but we read about his sacrifice for us. We read about, and again, I'll say it again, the great exchange that God made for us. That he came and he died on the cross to take our sins, but not only that, he gives us his righteousness so that we can actually stand before a holy God and be right in his sight. Okay? We understand that God died for us. And then we begin to understand the benefits of all of this. The benefits of being his child. The benefits of receiving that righteousness from him that we can stand before God. The benefits of having our place reserved in heaven forever. That's an awesome thing. And the benefit of having a restored relationship with God. Which leads me to the fourth and final thing. And the greatest out of all of them. Out of all the forever gifts that we wind up getting from becoming students of God's Word, approved workmen, the number one thing that we get? God. Okay? We get a fully restored, no sin hindering relationship with the one that loved us so much that he pursued us. The one that loved us so much that he did not think it anything to give up heaven, to come here to earth and become one of us. I've told you many times, I love my church. I love my youth group. But if I was sitting in heaven and God turned to me and said, you know what, I want you to become one of them and go down there, I'd be like, really? Are you sure? I like them a lot, but... And then when he adds on, and at the end of your life, they're going to abuse you, they're going to spit on you, and they're going to crucify you, they're going to kill you in the most horrific way ever imagined. Now go down there and be with them. Do you think I'm leaving heaven? I love you folks, but I don't love you that much. God did. Christ loved you that much that he would leave, okay? The one that says that he would rather go through hell for you than live in eternity in heaven without you. This is the person that we are gaining. We are gaining God himself, okay? Now I'm going to guess, just describing the eternal benefits that we get, when you hold those up, there's not going to be one person in this room who's not going to go, those benefits far outweigh any of those other things that we're talking about that don't last forever. Okay? The athletes back in ancient times worked hard at putting their bodies through all this different stuff, pushing them to the very limits. And when we take 2 Timothy 2:15 seriously, we work to show ourselves approved. Okay? We have a passion for God's Word. We desire to handle it well for our lives, but also for the lives of others. And we push ourselves to the limits to earn those awards that are going to last forever because we're looking at the forever, not the temporary, not the stuff of this life. But the final question, of course, is this. Are you doing that? And are you going to continue doing that? Okay? Because if you're not doing that, if you're not pushing yourself on to be that kind of a workman, why aren't you? What is it that's holding you back? What is keeping you from pursuing God and pursuing eternal things? If you are already pushing yourself that way and driving yourself, you have that desire, are you going to keep going? Or are you going to let something derail you along the way? Are you going to keep going deeper with God and find more of Him? Because the older I get, the deeper I go with God, the more I understand that there is more of Him to get. That I haven't uncovered it all. That I'm still learning tons of new things as I continue to walk this road with God. Okay? So we're all left with that choice. We can, like the Bible says, study to show ourselves approved workmen. And given all the eternal benefits, I think it's a fool's choice to say, no, I don't want to go after the eternal benefits. I want to go after the temporary stuff because it's more fun. We've got to have that eternal perspective and understand what we're gaining in the long run. Let's pray. God, thanks for this morning. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you and look into your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you even further in this time of communion as we approach it. Lord, this is an opportunity to really remember what it is that you really did do for us on that cross, that you gave up your life for us so that we could be righteous, because we had no hope of being righteous by ourselves. Thanks, Lord. Amen.